Hey, Millionaire University listeners, this is Kirsten, and I want to share something that's been a game changer in my journey from content creator to business owner, and that is Kajabi. When I started out, I knew I wanted to make serious money online, but I wasn't sure where to begin. And that's when I found Kajabi, one of the very first platforms I used. With Kajabi, I was able to host my very first courses and make tens of thousands of dollars. Kajabi is an all-in-one platform that makes building your business online a breeze. Whether you're creating stunning sales pages, setting up funnels, or hosting courses and memberships, Kajabi has you covered. It simplifies the entire process, letting you focus on what you do best, creating amazing content, and connecting with your audience and your customers. What truly sets Kajabi apart is how intuitive and user-friendly it is. I didn't have to worry about the technical stuff, which freed up my time to really grow my business and engage with my customers. If you're serious about turning your passion into a profitable business, Kajabi is one of the most important tools that you can have in your tool belt. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/MU. That's kajabi.com/MU. Go to kajabi.com/MU and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And to be honest, I had a lot of belief problems. I had a lot of belief system issues. And the only way I solved that was with money. It wasn't motivation.
Welcome back, Millionaire University. It's me, Kirsten, for another episode of the podcast. And today I'm joined by Jason Wojo. He has a really interesting Zero to Hero story where he's gone from flipping Pokemon cards as a side hustle to building a very successful digital marketing agency, helping people build optimized offers that they can scale with ads. Jason is going deep with us to help us understand what really creates a qualified, high-selling offer. A lot of times people think if you just turn on ads that you're going to have massive success, make millions of dollars, when in reality, what he's found with his digital marketing agency, specifically with ads, is that there are so many other elements that are required to be successful. And they do a really deep dive and help us understand what we need to be looking for if we're trying to have the same success. Jason's going to share with us the critical shift moving from solopreneurship to building a team and a full functioning agency. So if you're in this position where you're trying to understand how I can take this thing that I've started to build, I've started to utilize a skill, how do I turn this into a multiple seven-figure business, bringing other people into the operation, and what does scaling really look like? That's going to be broken down for you today on this episode. So without further delay, let's hear from the amazing Jason Wojo. Welcome back, Millionaire University. I've got Jason Wojo here joining me today, and we're going to blow your minds talking all about ads, ad agencies, what you need to know, what they might be lying to you about. Thanks for coming on and just being willing to share all the knowledge that I know you're going to impart with our audience.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this.
Absolutely. So why don't you give us a background? You're somebody who runs a very successful marketing firm. So talk about where you started and how we got to that point.
Yeah. So I started my journey about 5.5, 6 years ago. I was in college. I was in culinary school. I hated school. I was very rebellious. I hated being told what to do. I wind up dropping out of culinary school and I was flipping Pokemon cards on eBay. And that's where I started getting like some of the online space, like not like marketing, but like online stuff. And I was flipping my Pokemon cards because I was a broke college student. I needed money and I couldn't keep any jobs that I had. I literally had 3 jobs, got fired from every single one. I just like could not stand authority. I hated it. So I went back home, moved in with my parents, went to business school. I was there for 3 years back in Newburgh, New York. And that's when I was doing an internship at a financial firm for doing a website revamp. And while I was there, I was getting a lot into like website plugins, all this stuff. And as you go down that rabbit hole, you just find videos from guys like Ty Lopez, Tony Robbins, all these guys. So I found Ty Lopez's course for 9 to 7. It was an SMA course. And I bought it, and it was about like pitching local businesses, doing 7-day free trials. I did that for about a year and a half. I had about 12 clients. Yes, that doesn't sound like a lot after a year and a half. I took the route that most entrepreneurs do, which is, hey, I'm just getting off the ground. I don't want to invest my money. I'm scared to spend money and invest in my knowledge. I think I could do it all on my own. Yeah, that was wrong. So 10 to 12 clients, I was making like maybe $2,500, $3,000 a month. These were not expensive retainers because I had a massive money block back then. I thought that charging $200 a month was fine. Definitely not right. So I was doing that. I was getting out of school soon. And that's when I met one of my first mentors. His name was Greg Barry. And Greg Barry owned a clothing brand. And I was making a lot of videos on Instagram at the time, a lot of videos on IG, just like motivational videos. Like, hey, if you're in college, like screw college, blah, blah, blah. So I made these videos and they found my, you know, Instagram. They sent me a bunch of clothes for free. It's like one of my first influencer deals, I guess. I don't really call it a deal, but just whatever.
Yeah.
Sent me a bunch of clothes. I made videos with it. And Greg texts me back. He's like, yo, dude, these videos outperformed all of our ads. I'm like, ads? What are you talking about? So then he's like, hey, meet me for lunch in Connecticut. I lived in New York at the time. So I went to Connecticut, had lunch with him. And he's like, yeah, dude, like, I want to show you what we're doing with Facebook ads. Like, we're running your videos. We're spending $2,000. And I'm like, $2,000 a year? He's like, no, a day. And I was like, a day? Like, that was a huge money block moment for me, because that's also the same day where I had another money block around like ordering add-ons at restaurants. We were at this restaurant and I was like, I'm going to get a Caesar salad. And the guy's like, do you want to add chicken? And I was like, is it extra? And Greg's like, dude, just get the damn chicken. Like, I got you. It's all good. I was so like, I had that money block where I wouldn't get chicken on a salad because it costed $8 more. And, you know, he was sitting down with me, just teaching all the stuff that we're doing. He's like, dude, I want to hire you. Like, I want to fly you around the country and have you make all these videos and we'll pay you. I was like, oh, sick, dude. What could you guys pay? He's like, I'll give you $4,000 a month. I was like, $4,000 a month? I was like, what the hell's going on right now? I thought it was a joke. I was like, ah, it's got to be a scam. So I'm eating lunch with him. I felt really uncomfortable because I didn't really realize like $4,000 to me was a lot. I was making $800 a month at my job and then flipping Pokemon cards. So making another $4,000 a month, like literally changed my life completely. Like I went from eating McDonald's to finally be able to eat Olive Garden. So it was crazy. So I'm driving him back to the mall because his kids were across the, like across the road at this mall, and my wife and the kids, I'm still friends with them this very day, drop them off. And as I'm dropping them off, my phone went off. I was like, oh, like I'm going to look at this. It was a PayPal for $4,000. I was like, bro, what the hell? So I thought this was so like weird. I was like, what is going on right now? So I do that. I'm like shaking as I'm shaking his hand as he's leaving because I'm like scared. I was very introverted, very socially awkward. Shake his hand, he leaves, and I'm driving home. And like when I tell you, you know when you get really mad at something and your veins like pop out of your arm? Like
yeah.
The whole ride home, I was on an absolute high. It was crazy. Like I literally had to pull over at some point because I was shaking and I had a sugar rush. It was insane.
Wow.
So when I'm getting home, I tell my parents, hey, I just got paid $4,000. And they're like, what? Like my mom didn't even make $4,000 a month. Like my dad did, but like my mom didn't. So I was making more money than my mom and I was 19.
Wow.
And it was this thing where I completely lost belief in what we were told and like all these things about school because my mom was a part-time college professor. I made more money than her and I was in college. I was like, wait, what am I doing right now? So it's so weird. So then I wind up like saving money for the next year working with Greg. Because we took that company from zero to 21,436 paying customers. And we also had a $37 a month paying subscription. That's where I learned about ActiveCampaign, ClickFunnels, upsells, downsells, all this stuff. Wind up scaling that. We did well over like $1.4 million. It was just t-shirt, free plus shipping offers. So like, yeah, 21,000 customers is a lot, but it was low ticket stuff. So we did that. We also had a pin funnel, which was like a webinar. And we were selling $500 courses on an automated webinar, which back then was so much easier than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
And we scaled that to $1 million. And then he's decided to shut the company down. He sold it. And then me and my friend Troy, who we worked together there, we went out on our own. And then I moved to Orlando, Florida, because I was like, hey, like, I hate New York. Taxes are too high. Living expenses are too high. I'm going to go somewhere where there's palm trees and it's nice. So I was like, all right, we're going to go to Orlando. This is the cheapest place in Florida to live. Personally, it was nice, too. Orlando's not bad.
Yeah.
So moved there and then I started just growing the agency and that was it. And then now we're here. So I just forced myself I lived in a college like house in the corner in a room and I just grinded for years and that was it. Now we're here.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that leap from $800 to the 4,000. It seems like everything from that point, once you realized what was possible, skyrocketed from there. And you probably never looked back to thinking 800 would ever be sufficient for your time. And I know every entrepreneur has to hit that aha moment. We're like, wait, we're not talking about small numbers here. This is, and even now you're probably like $4,000 a month. Man, he got a good deal. I could have gotten this. You know, he should have been paying me more. But it sounds like you guys went on to build something really, really big together, which is awesome. And you learned by doing, which is how most of us have to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other thing too is just like, I had to get past all my beliefs. I feel like it's funny because we run so many events and we get entrepreneurs inside of a room and I'm like, hey, they just want to learn tactical stuff. And I'm like, you know what I realized? Like, here's the sad part about the world is that they don't want tactical. They don't. They just want motivation.
Yep.
And I was like, this is so sad. This is so sad because like the tactical stuff is what makes them money. And to be honest, I had a lot of belief problems. I had a lot of belief system issues. And the only way I solved that was with money. It wasn't motivation. I was like, hey, if I just make more money, I'll solve my problems, which worked to some extent. Now I have other problems. It's just interesting because like all the marketing stuff is cool, but people won't grasp what I'm saying unless they're motivated to care. Mm-hmm. If they're not motivated to care, then the inaction is what like, and also distractions.
Yeah.
There's people who will watch a ton of podcasts. They'll watch this, get motivated for 8 minutes. Then they'll walk outside. They'll get a Snapchat from their friend and then they'll wind up going out drinking and then they don't do anything with their time. And it's like, they just need to have an action because the action will displace any distraction that they have. That's the only thing that I learned was stay busy, not in the wrong areas, but just stay busy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll figure it out as you go. And there are so many people who stay in that. They want to have the perfect plan. They want to think it through. They want to get it all on paper before they're willing to do anything. And then you have a lot of theoretical knowledge, not a lot of actual knowledge, which has to come from taking action, which sounds like you did. And now in a very short amount of time. And that's the crazy thing is you probably before had this plan of like, I'll make this and then I'll graduate college and I'll, you know, it's this roadmap. And then you have to throw the roadmap out and realize, wait a minute, I'm actually making this so much faster. I'm making more than my mom and I'm not even done in college. And that's a big thing we talk about here on Millionaire University is taking a different path that you don't have to follow the traditional educational route. There's so much to learn in just doing and being and existing in the place where you want to be. Like, why are you waiting for a certificate to do what you love? So that's cool. So tell me about some of the lessons that you learned as you went from doing some social media management services to actually running and using ads and what that experience was like.
Oh, geez. I mean, biggest thing was that I needed to have more hands in people's businesses because the ads didn't matter that much. I know that's a very bold saying coming from a marketing person, but like your ads are just one piece of the puzzle. I realized that offers were a thing. And I realized that landing pages and copywriting were a thing. I realized that offer stacks and infatuations and upsells and KPIs and take rates and sales teams and lead nurtured, all these things were way more important than ads. And after maybe like a year and a half running ads for local businesses, I realized that the reason why clients were leaving when I was a year in was because I didn't do anything else for them. I just ran their ads and I would get them leads. They're like, oh, these leads suck. We're done. I'm like, wait, bro, what are you talking about? The leads are not bad. Oh, but my guys called them. How fast? Oh, we called them the next morning. Okay, well, that's why. You're supposed to call them right away. Oh, we don't have the systems for that. Okay, cool. So you hate money. Sick. Well, at least we got that out of the way. So it's like this thing where I realized that the ads were just exposing problems that the business owners had to solve. Like ads is literally like this give or take thing. Ads will explode your business if you have the right systems and processes, but it will make your business feel like crap if you can't close anybody. So it's, it's just a give and take relationship. And I had to realize that I had to build out better skill sets and have teams for these things. Like now we have a CRM team, we have an offer team, we have a copy team, we have a landing page team, we have all these teams so that when a client's like, yeah, my show rates are down. All right, cool. Plug them in. Yeah. Like it's a problem that we can solve.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's two issues there, right? You mentioned that you didn't make yourself irreplaceable. It was just doing one service. And I know as an entrepreneur myself, my husband and I have run into this time and time again where we want to just focus and niche down on this one thing, but then you get into it and you're like, oh, but you didn't even build the offer correctly or you don't even understand your messaging. And we have to go almost back to the beginning when they just think, if I just turn on some ads, that will fix it or that will make me more money. When, like you said, it's going to go either way. It's either going to make you feel worse because you're going to lose money or it's, So what are some of the things that you guys do differently? What's the typical flow when somebody comes in, wants to hire somebody, hires an ad agency, and they just, here, take my money, fix my problem. And then what do you guys do differently?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that we've seen is ad agencies that have a lot of churn, they do the whole like, hey, pay us and we'll launch your ads as fast as possible. Here's the problem. You launch your ads fast because you're sufficing the problem of impatience. And business owners who don't have patience are reasons why they don't make 7-8 figures. There's a reason why they don't make that amount of money. When I talk to 7-8 figure, 9 figure entrepreneurs, the question is never how fast are you going to launch? The questions are, hey, what do you need from us? Two completely different allocations of questions. Okay. What we do differently is we focus on four really important parts. Number one, when you come in, we have a whole week just dedicated to your offer. And some people don't like that. And some people do. Some people are like, wait, my ads, what does that do with anything? I'm like, okay, that's why you haven't made money before. Relax. So your offer, if we can't build you an impulse offer or something that's sexy, that has differentiation, then what we put in your ads and your scripts and your ad copy won't make a difference. It really won't.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing is your offer and your value ladder and then your customer journey. Two is your landing pages and copy. So we write really good funnels. Like we have very good headlines, good subheadlines, good storytelling, good infatuations. We have good landing page structure, all the proven things that I've proven over the years that have worked. And we know if you're an X business, what's the best funnel for you? Is it webinars? Is it VSL? Is it opt in a book? Is it opt in a school community? Is it opt in a Facebook group? Is it like, what is it? What's going to be the best momentum for you? So that's number two. Number three is creative omnipresence. That's with your ads. If we just run Facebook and Facebook only, we're doing you a disservice. We'll offer you other services, but if you want to buy them, that's on you, but we offer it. Mm-hmm. But like if you're just on Facebook and they ban you and you're like, oh, it's your guy's fault. No, we offered you the bigger package and didn't want to buy it. So that's your fault. So if we can't run YouTube and you know Google search and Google shopping and you know TikTok and Facebook and IG together, like we're making you more omnipresent. Then the last piece is your KPIs, which are like, what are the numbers that are actually dictating the other three parts of your success? So like, what's your cost per lead, cost per show? What's your close rate? What is the show rates and where are people dropping off? Where's the problem in your VSL? Like, what are these things that are happening in the business that are actually levers that we could pull? Like, what's your email open rates? What's your like pricing ladder? Why are people not taking this third upsell? Like, looking at the numbers, because most business owners get way too emotional. They're like, oh, like I'm spending money. It's not working. I'm like, actually it is. You're so consumed in the emotional that you can't look at the number. Like I want to be able to use my phone and make a calculated decision, not sit there and go like, nowhere in my business do I ever say, I think this will work.
Yeah.
Or let's try this and see what happens. It's no, it's data. Like what happened in this funnel? And if we change it, what number of conversion rate are we looking for? If we change the pricing, what change in conversion rate on the phones are we looking for? Do we care more about revenue per call or do we care more about show rates? Do we care more about close rate? Or do we care about do more people take the middle package versus the last one? Like, that's what I care about. I don't care about the ad spend. That's not even the question anymore.
Yeah.
So people just get too emotional about spending the money.
Yeah.
Totally. And those are what the four things are really derived from.
As a business-to-business marketer, you know that your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles can be painfully long, and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You'll have direct access to and build relationships with decision makers. There's a billion members, 180 million of which are senior level executives and 10 million are C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools built specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5x higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms, and 79% of B2B content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. So if you're ready to work with a partner who respects the B2B world you operate in, then you need LinkedIn ads. So make B2B marketing everything it can be and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/mupod to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/mupod. Terms and conditions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Okay, so if I'm at a point in my business where I'm seeing some conversions, I'm doing organic, do you have clients coming to you who are like, I'm burned out, I'm exhausted, I'm looking to scale this, it's converting, but how can I do it without being a slave to my business? What's your opinion on both and where they both fit in?
Well, I'll look at organic as a way to prove a concept. Like, and this is always going to be a thing. There's 8 billion people on the planet. And what, 39 million small businesses are made every single year? The chances of you going organically viral and building a 7-figure business are very small. Like very, very small. Let's say, right, all this talk about TikTok getting banned right now is like happening. Okay. If TikTok gets banned, half of these influencers are going to have zero income. So they have no business, nothing. So it's like, okay, you just have organic, but you also have to have paid ads that put gas on the fire that you've built with organic. Organic is you proving a concept. And if a business owner is burnt out, it's usually because of two things. And this is just the truth. It's that one is that they have a control problem. Okay. They never gave up anything to anybody else because they've been a solopreneur and they enjoy the 80% to 90% margins inside of their business. They enjoy it. They're like, oh, I'm a solopreneur. I make 30 grand a month. I pocket 26. I'm chilling. Okay, cool. But then you got to go spend money to scale and you're like, ooh, I don't make $26,000 profit a month every more. I can't go get that new Ferrari that I want, or I can't go on that vacation right now. I got to figure this out first. The other thing about like burnout is that they're just doing things that they shouldn't be doing. That's a piece of like personal belief. Like, what is your time actually worth? And I just don't see the value in people trying to have too much control. Because here's the thing about control. I just talked about this on one of my webinars earlier today, which is, if you want to control everything, then you control nothing.
Yeah.
If you want to wear all the hats, then wear all the hats, but be exhausted and make less money. Is it really worth it to you to make 30 grand a month and pocket 25, or to make 50 and pocket 20, but be happy? It doesn't add up in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do we not think about these things?
Yeah.
When I was a solopreneur, I was pocketing 140,000 a month, probably close to that. I was paying a lot in taxes, but when I built a team, now we have 52 people. We do very well. Yeah. And I pocket way more now, but it's this thing where I had to duplicate myself and be a leader. If you're having problems with burnouts, that was the second thing, by the way. I know I'm ranting, but no, the second thing is trust. Okay. So it's having control and a lack of trust. Either something happened in this entrepreneur's childhood or their life where a parent, like this is a huge thing that I see, is that a parent left them when they were a kid. Their husband cheated on them. Their wife cheated on them. Someone like really screwed them over where they don't trust people anymore. If you're not a good leader, then it's going to be tough for you to lead other people to where you want them to be, because they don't only work with you for money. They work with you for actually like having a path and purpose as well. So like, you had to become a leader. Mm-hmm. And my last thing to prove this is that if you wake up every morning and you actually have to worry about where your next client or customer is coming from, regardless if you think you're okay, you're probably not. Every morning we wake up, we have 60 book calls on the calendar. Wow. I never have to wake up and be like, yeah, we don't have money coming in. Every day we have 6 to 8 closes. We're doing 30K plus a day. Like, I don't have to worry about new customers coming through the door. Never an issue. Now what's my issue? Leadership. Systems, training, you know, doing our events, doing real things that scale the revenue, mm-hmm. like that, and building new products. That's my problems. If you don't want more problems, which by the way, what I was talking about in the beginning about paid ads exposing problems, that's the goal. I want to have more problems, because more problems means I have a solution, and that solution makes me more. Yeah. And it builds the business better. If you're running a business and you're afraid to run ads because you don't want to actually expose your business to the crappy structure that it is, you're just scared because you're like, if I get 20 leads this month and I can't close any, I suck at sales because I'm so used to closing referrals and people who are warm.
It's so true.
But if I have to go close somebody who's cold, I am now not the business owner that I'm telling all my friends about.
Yeah. I love that. Such good feedback. And I think you touched on something that's really important that I myself have struggled with. And I see a lot of people struggle with this, is hitting that point where you do shift from solopreneur to CEO, entrepreneur, bringing other people in. Because it's what you said, you go from like an 80 to 90% profitability to losing a lot of that. But where did you see for your own business and yourself that breaking point where it finally made sense to where now you're making way more than you were making before as you're on your own?
I mean, the biggest thing with that was I just was tired of working 18 hours a day. Like my social life was declining. I was unhappy. Yeah, the same thing happened for me too. I was making 30 grand a month and I enjoyed like pocketing all the profit. I enjoyed not having to pay invoices. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I did. But then I realized like I'm 22 at the time. Why am I playing so small? Like, what am I doing? And I was like, okay, well, I'm 21, 22 years old, making 30 grand a month. That's $360,000 a year. What? I want to make $1 million a year. What is that going to take? Mm-hmm. And then I started scaling. And then I started having a problem with churn. I was able to keep clients on my own for a very long time. And then I was on my own. I took on more than I could chew. And then at one point, I had 30-something clients. I was making 80 grand a month. I legit didn't have any time to eat breakfast, go to lunch, eat dinner. I was legit like putting my health in jeopardy. And that's when I realized I had to build a team. That I hired my first contractor, and that was Dave. Dave is listening to this. I freaking love Dave. Still talk to him. I remember paying him 8 grand a month. I didn't even freaking realize how much money that was at the time. Well, I was looking at Fiverr and Upwork, and I realized, and this is a big point that I'm getting to, is that I was very cheap. Like when I was making money and trying to hire a team, I was trying to pay people that were worth 8 grand a month, 4,000 a month. Doesn't work. Okay. You have to pay people what they're worth. And if you don't pay them what they're worth, what are they going to do? They're going to get distracted and find opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah.
If they're a contractor for you, they're going to go find somewhere else to make that other 4 grand. And what does that mean? Your business is not getting the attention that you deserve and they're making someone else money.
Yeah.
That was a big headache of ours for sure, is that I didn't have crazy amount of cash flow to do it because then I started running ads and those costs piled up. And I was like, damn, I'm making 80K a month and now I'm pocketing 35. That's just part of the game. Yeah. And then I had to straighten out our systems. I increased prices and the margins like got a lot better. But like it was things where every single time I scaled to another level, it was leadership, product, onboarding, automations, all these things that had to be built out. This team member wasn't as good as I thought they were. Fired. Like it was just all these things that were happening and I had to solve those problems in an efficient time manner.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So if I'm a business owner and I'm coming in and I want to scale a business to 100K, what is the process going to look like for me?
100K. Is that just 10K a month?
100K a month.
100K a month. Okay. Yeah. So let's just say that you're a coach. Okay. So you're a coach and you're trying to get to 100K a month. First thing you need is a product that's product market fit. Okay, so if your product or offer is not market fit, then you're going to have a hard time getting people to raise their hand for it. So that's the first thing. Second thing you need is like a really good brand and like social organic piece to like make sure that when people are seeing your ads, once I get to that point, when people see your ads, they don't go to your organic page and say, I don't trust this person. Yeah, that's the second thing. So you need to have a really good organic page, like posting content daily, going on podcasts. That's part of your organic. Going on podcasts, posting long form YouTube videos, like being a part of the community and having a voice. Third is that you need to know how to sell your offer. How are you going to sell it? Are you going to run a free webinar? Are you going to take sales calls? Are you confident in sales calls? If you're not good at sales calls, run a webinar. It's the most efficient way to actually make money. Because then what you can do on the webinar is you can just pitch them and sell a call and then they're a layup on the sales call. You also have to think about like, hey, to get to 100K a month, how many customers do I need? Can I fulfill? Let's say you're a coach charging 6 grand for 6 weeks. Let's just do a quick example. That means you got to get, what is that? 14? No, four. That means you got to get 17 people to say yes, which means you got to sell one person a day. So how do I sell one person a day on 6 grand? And if I am selling one person a day, that means that I have to take 17 sales calls a week. Well, 17 calls a week. 17 one-on-ones a week is, I could probably do that in 2.5 days. So that means the other 2.5 days, I have to be doing what? Running ads, doing email, doing organic. That's how you would divvy up your time. And then also what you would say is, hey, listen, what if I dropped the price to 4 grand, but hired another coach to do it for me so I don't have to do the one-on-ones? Then I could scale further. And at 4 grand, I got to get 25 people to say yes. It's one person a day. And if you're running sales calls during the week, that's one person a day during the week to say yes. It's not hard to do if you're running ads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I build 100K a month business. Love I know it. That I was really quick with that, but like that's how I look at time and just like productivity and the management side of it. And then once you know your CAC, which is your cost to acquire a customer, let's say you're charging 6 grand and you're spending $1,500 to get a customer. Let's just put a number out there. Okay, cool. $1,500 to get a customer. That means that I got to spend 1,500 times 25 days. So I got to spend whatever it is, $40,000+. That means that I get to pocket $55,000 a month if I make 100 grand a month.
Yeah.
And you pay your coach 10 grand a month, you make $45,000 a month and you pocket it.
Wow. It sounds so simple when you break it down. It's just, it is math. It's numbers. It's a replicatable strategy.
It's crazy because, yeah, like now running the business that I've had for so long, like every offer that we run will hit six figures in the first month because I know how to build a business from the ground up. But if I tell somebody to do what I'm doing, they're like we just ran the event business, Skill Your Ads. Three events, first 3 months, we did 900 grand. First 3 months. And then after that, we had the whole tour this year. We did 2.5 million bucks, 8 months. Like, it's this thing where every offer I touch does well, but you have to want to spend a ton of money and break your belief system. Because while you're doing the 17 calls and while you're doing the sales calls and while you're running ads, there's beliefs we have to break throughout the process for you to even understand what the hell I'm talking about, which pisses people off. So it's like, you got to break the belief system and then you got to get them in action period. Also, or the organic, sitting in front of a camera, hiring a videographer, like that 100K, when I broke it down, you're probably going to sit at like $35,000 or $40,000 after paying a video person, your ClickFunnels subscription, go high level, all these things. But like at the end of the day, it's better than making no money.
Yeah.
So like.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about what makes a high converting ad. What is your guys' strategy? Because I know that's just one component, but when it comes to actually creating the ads, what are you advising your clients right now on doing? Is it dependent on the actual offer or there's some steps that all of us can take?
Yeah. So biggest thing with high converting ads is all about the beginning of the video, like the first 10 seconds. You got to be able to get the offer out there, pain point and pattern interrupt in the first 10 seconds.
Okay.
So like if you're, a big thing with ads too that people don't realize is like a high converting ad really doesn't need to be a high converting ad. It should be a high converting offer. Like if the offer is good, then everything else is fine.
Yeah.
Like I've just never seen a lot of problems with a ad if the offer sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the offer sucks, the ad's going to be atrocious regardless, or you're lying to people in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just this thing of like all high converting ads have pattern interrupts, good tonality, good backgrounds, good quality, good social proof, good storytelling, good infatuations, and then a CTA. And that's usually how I will derive a high converting ad. Like I have a really good ad on the internet that people love. They buy because I tell a 14 minute story about my entire life. Like I didn't mean in the podcast. I do that in an ad and I'm taped to a chair in a dark room with my mouth shut. And it's a very good ad. Like it gets people's curiosity and they watch and the watch times are high because the first freaking 3 seconds is me going, and I'm like in a dark room and you think I'm getting kidnapped. So like the way that you start an ad really matters, and invest money in into the production. But also if your offer is very, very good, your ads don't really need to be that sexy, honestly.
Yeah.
Like some of my best ads are ones where I have no ad copy, but I have a really good offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, one of our highest performing ads is literally a video with my phone like this. And I'm just talking into it. And I didn't look like this, by the way. I had pimples and I was like, there was a waterfall behind me. And like, that was what it was. And that's our highest grossing ads this very day. That video ad, by the way, still runs to this very day, 4 years later.
Wow.
Still runs. It's got over 1.4 million views on the Instagram feed. It runs, has 3,000 comments. It makes a ton of money. Has nothing to do with cool, flashy cars and stuff like that. It's all about radical transparency, having a good offer.
Yeah. Well, and really, when you say good offer, it's understanding the messaging, and the offer isn't just the product you're selling. It's have you packaged it up in a way that it makes perfect sense to where people don't have to think very hard about it. So the ad should be relatively simple if that's all you're doing is just representing something that people actually want and that's tested and true. So it makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of people probably do get hung up on, if I create really, really great production quality, that's going to be the thing, when it's one element, but it's not even the most important element. You need to make sure that you're selling something that people actually want to purchase. And then the ad creation gets a little bit easier. And you can scale up your costs, like having a production crew, as you make more and more money. But if you're seeing both, you have this highly produced ad and then you have this super simple one and they're both converting well, then it just tells you it is. It's all about the offer. It's about nailing the messaging and knowing what you're selling. So makes sense. But it's funny how many people don't get that and they focus on all the wrong things and then wonder why it's not working.
They always focus on the things that are short term. It's like, oh, the ad's not working. I can go into Facebook and fix it. But your offer doesn't work. I got to change my whole model.
Yeah.
And people don't want to do that because they're just lazy.
Yeah. So people obviously listening to this, all of you guys who want to go down this road where you're seeing the appeal of being able to scale, having all these elements in place, They're obviously not going to hire you if they want the quick fix, if they want you to just slap some money, turn on some ads. What is the process like to come in and work with you? Or what do you recommend people be in their business before they come and work with your business?
So the biggest thing I say is, like, if you're making at least 10K per month, right, and you're willing to spend at least 50 to 75 bucks a day to get off the ground on top of our service, you're looking at around $4,500 to $6,500 a month, all in. Okay. With that being said, you need to be in a place where your offer has worked organically very well through certain economic cycles, or you have a good organic following. Like, you're not just some like faceless person. We've gotten people like that who are like, I just want to sit behind the camera and make money. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? And then on top of that, like, the best proven cons are ones who have data. You bring data to the table. We can now leverage that data to move you forward in the right position. Don't just come to us saying, oh, we made 11 grand last month. What can you do? That doesn't really help us. Like, we need to know the KPIs, like what happened in the business that dictated that 11K a month. And then if they want to work with me, they can just go on Instagram at the Jason Wojo and they can just click the link in my bio. That's where everybody goes. They can just click the link in my bio there. That's where I run all my ad traffic to. It's a landing page, all the social proof, all the context that they need to make a decision. And they can just book a call through there to speak with one of my senior advisors.
Cool. Love it. Okay. Well, if you guys are listening and this is the path you want to go, you obviously know what you need to get in order to be able to be at a point where you're ready to hire somebody, help you scale to the next level. Thanks so much for coming and sharing your process and just peeling back the curtain so we can see what you're doing and how you're helping people make all this money using advertising. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you so much again, Jason. That was truly a fantastic episode. Honestly, it was when I went back and listened and edited that I found the most value, because as I was on the other side of the conversation, I'm always having to think one step ahead and really trying to think for you guys, what is going to be most valuable? But even as a coach, as an entrepreneur who has dabbled in ads and is running offers and building a business also of my own, I listened to this and I realized he gave some really huge strategies and steps that you can take to be successful. And so this is one you might want to go back and listen to again. It's definitely one I'm going to go pick apart, as he gave that really awesome strategy if you're a coach and you're trying to get clients. These are the things you need to do. And I really think you can take what Jason said and apply it to any industry. When it comes to having an online business, this is a new space that really hasn't been around for very long, but now we're getting to a really cool point where you can be very evaluative of the metrics and the numbers. And like Jason said, you don't have to just wonder if this is going to work. You can have data, you can look at the things that are working and figure out how to grow it even bigger. So thank you again for bringing so many good things for us to consider and work towards. I hope you guys got as much value out of this as I did, and I'll see you on the next episode of Millionaire University. Have a great day.
Hey, Eric Fisher here, and if you love the conversations and lessons happening on this show, and you've heard my voice before, you'll love my show, Beyond the To-Do List. It's a podcast about productivity and getting things done in all the areas where we wear multiple hats and roles, but also about the true meaning of productivity, living a more meaningful life. Look, you've got a never-ending to-do list, but add this podcast to your to-do list, and it will help you tackle the rest. Go right now, wherever you're listening to this, and search Beyond the To-Do List and hit follow or subscribe. Start listening and get that boost for your productivity that you've been needing. Again, that's Beyond the To-Do List. Search in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast.